Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to talk with you again. Hope that you've had a great week. It's been a fun week on our end, a fun week of NBA basketball. Obviously, again, another great game between the Celtics and the Heat. And I guess I'm going to have to stand corrected. I had mentioned on yesterday's show, obviously, the Nuggets and the Heat, the great runs that they have had through the playoffs. You know, now facing the Celtics and Lakers, who were expected to be where they are, the Heat just looked like the more cohesive team. And there's a couple of characteristics of the Heat that I'll get into in just a second as to why I think they're so successful and why I think it could start to be a common trend in the NBA to see teams that have these characteristics like the Heat do really surprise teams, really move further in the playoffs and get by, you know, teams that have more superstar talent on them. But we'll get into that into just a second. As always, you can follow myself at StatsSAC on Twitter. You can follow the show at Locked On Grizz. And again, my name is Sean Coleman. I have been covering the Grizzlies now for a little over 2 years. Started over at Grizzly Bear Blues myself. Started writing there. Got into the podcast game about a year and a half ago through the 3&D podcast. Came over here with Mark King in April, and now I'm doing the show as your Locked On Grizzlies host. Reason I do the show, I love the Grizzlies. Love podcasting. Love writing. This is an opportunity to where I can do a lot of things that I'm passionate about, but more than anything, I love interacting with other people who share similar passions, which is the Grizzlies, the NBA, and sports. So that's a little bit about me. Obviously, also, you can follow the podcast anywhere it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever, you know, the podcast app on your iPhone, however you choose to listen to it. And when you do listen to it, subscribe to the show. We hope that you certainly enjoy it. Give us a review if you ever want to give feedback or give content to be covered. Send us a DM via Twitter, myself or the show. We always want to make sure the content that we're providing is relative to our listeners' preferences. So I had talked with David Ramil on Monday about, you know, what about the Heat is so special? What has allowed for them to be, in the position that they're in? And now that they're in the Eastern Conference Finals, putting themselves in a position now to where they are the clear favorite to go to the finals out of the Eastern Conference. And there's been, you know, a lot have said that about the Heat culture, about, you know, what is so special about the Heat. They don't have the same talent as a lot of other NBA teams, but there's something about that culture and the camaraderie between the team. They all love to work hard. They all love to be, you know, together. We've seen new players even come in and just, you know, become such a better version of themselves than they were. The Grizzlies and Grizzlies fans have no better example than Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder is the same type of person, same energetic, magnetic, positive presence in the locker room. But while he did struggle, especially from shooting distance with the Grizzlies, he has gone into his situation with Miami and just become a completely different player. One of the better shooters now that's been in the NBA playoffs, and just adding to so much shooting depth that the Heat have. And that's one thing about it that the Heat have that the Grizzlies do not. Like we discussed with David Ramil, that ability to develop players and that positive culture of players who not only know that they have to work but enjoy actually putting in the work to get better, the Grizzlies have that, I feel. And they've got a coach that embraces that in Taylor Jenkins. But the one missing element that I think that is there for teams such as the Heat that hopefully the Grizzlies will develop in time is shooting. Now, another thing that's really helping the Heat out is quality depth. The depth of their bench and the depth and the chemistry between their players versus the top-heavy talent of the Celtics, it's really coming into play. When the Heat's bench is on the floor, they're making a big difference. And the passing and you know, the overall chemistry that's there between the offense, how well they're running their offensive schemes, it's there as well as it's making a difference to allow for, you know, Jimmy Butler scored 34 points through these first two games, but he's been able to close for him because the other players have been playing so well off each other that they've been able to maintain the lead throughout these two games. So the ability to work, the ability to develop players, the young talent that's there, and the quality depth that the Heat have. The Grizzlies don't have it on the same level as the Heat right now, but they do have several of those traits that you see developing and that you need to have to really build not only a team that could one day be a title contender, but a sustainable winner. However, the one thing that the Grizzlies do not have at this point in time that the Heat do, and other teams without bona fide tandem superstars do, is they don't really have that identity shooting. as of yet. And that's really not a surprise. The Grizzlies coming into the season were definitely thought to be a lottery lock, and obviously they surprised many by making, you know, a true playoff run that just didn't work out due to things inside and outside of their control. But the one thing that I clearly think is there, the next step that is there for this Grizzlies roster to add that can really help them take that next step, hopefully soon, is adding shooting. We've even seen it from some of the news outlets and things such as that, you know, interest in potential prospects with the number 40 pick this year. Other indications have shown the way that Taylor Jenkins showed his preferences when it came to the bubble against more talented teams, going with Grayson Allen and Anthony Tolliver over Gorgui Dieng and DeAnthony Melton and Josh Jackson. Taylor Jenkins clearly wants a preference on shooting, fast pace and shooting. The Grizzlies right now don't necessarily have a lot of individual shooting talent, but there could be ways in which they improve this year and can continue to improve into the future that will allow for them to eventually gain that shooting talent. It's going to take additional pieces coming in, but the Grizzlies did take strides this year to improve their overall shooting talent, and as we've seen from the playoffs, that's definitely a critical development if the Grizzlies do want to become a true title contender one day. But what do we have to work with? How did the Grizzlies do this year in general when it came to their shooting? Well, overall, they did decently, you know, as time went on. You know, for the season, the Grizzlies actually were seventh in field goal percentage in terms of their shooting on the NBA season. They also made 40 field goals per game on 85 field goal, or excuse me, they made 42 field goals per game on 90 field goal attempts and shot 47% from the field. Overall, that's quite good. It was seventh in the NBA. But the thing about it is this, is that a lot of the Grizzlies' success, as we know, came from in the paint. In fact, when it comes to the Grizzlies' production in the paint, in terms of field goals less than 10 feet from the basket, the Grizzlies actually ranked fourth in the NBA this season, and how many of their shots were from within 10 feet of the basket. 47% of the time, the Grizzlies shot their field goals within 10 feet of the basket. One thing about that is that, you know, that's great. It's the team playing to its strengths, because as we know with Ja Morant and Jonas Valanciunas, Brandon Clark, some of our best scorers, Tyus Jones even, some of our best scorers have a preference and are more successful, you know, right now getting to the rim and finding their shots there instead from the outside. But one thing about it in terms of the teams that shot the most from less than 10 feet in the basket is that you'll notice that a lot of the teams that did it the most are teams that were outside the playoffs. For instance, the top 10 teams in terms of frequency within 10 feet of the basket: the Detroit Pistons, the Charlotte Hornets, the Chicago Bulls, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Toronto Raptors, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Atlanta Hawks. Those are the 10 teams. That was the top 10 teams in terms of the frequency of their overall shots that occurred within 10 feet of the basket. The one thing that you notice, only one playoff team out of that group, and that was the Toronto Raptors. So what that means is that it's great that the Grizzlies were able to play to their strengths, but also in the general scheme of things, having a big part of your shots within 10 feet of the basket, it is hard to find consistent success living with that when the NBA itself is trending more and more towards shooting the ball from distance and finding success shooting from distance. Overall, the Grizzlies this season, in terms of their three-point production, they were 25th in the league, averaging just under 11 three-pointers per game. In terms of how many they attempted, they were 24th in the league at 31.5 three-pointers per game. The team that led the league, of course, was the Houston Rockets. They averaged 45 points per game. So the thing that jumps out there is that, you know, when we watched the Grizzlies team this season, one thing that jumped out to us is just how much more we emphasize the three this year with our roster than we had in the past. And that is certainly true. This has been by far one of the seasons in Grizzlies franchise history where the three was much more prevalent than it had been, you know, any times. This was a rare season for in terms of the Grizzlies franchise where the Grizzlies really focused on the three. But in the end, just because we were, you know, we made, you know, clear and significant improvements in terms of how much we emphasize the three compared to our franchise, as we all know, the three-point shot has always been an overall struggle for this Grizzlies franchise. And yet we still, in this career, franchise leading season when it comes to three-pointers, we still are only 24th in the league when it comes to attempts. And not only are we near the bottom of the league when it comes to, you know, both makes and attempts, we also were not that good when it comes to making the three-pointers, as we were 23rd in the NBA. So we were 25th in made threes, 24th in attempted threes, and 23rd in overall three-point percentage. So the overall shooting profile of the Grizzlies team right now is not something that really is conducive for us to be able to have success getting to the playoffs. And that's fine. We're not expected to be in the playoffs. That's not something that right now is really in place. That's not the overall goal for us, is to make the playoffs in the present. It's to let our players develop their talents and play to their strengths. We did play to our strengths. It was a reason why our production in the paint, our passing, all that was a reason why we played above expectations. But as we've seen with the Heat and as we've seen with other teams that have made the playoffs, the next step is to really focus on how we can improve our overall shooting ability as a team. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to look at different ways in which the Grizzlies might be able to do that internally and how they have improved internally to do that. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Really excited for next week here at Locked On Grizzlies. We're going to start a new series, if you will, but what we'll be doing is we'll be breaking down some of the Grizzlies' most relevant rivals and opposition. You know, of course, the Southwestern Conference. A lot of uncertainty around several of the teams in the Southwestern Conference, with the Pelicans and the Rockets now looking for new coaches. What comes next for Luka after a legendary playoff performance in his first time in the playoffs? And then what's next for the Spurs? You know, though they have Greg Popovich, the first time missing the playoffs in, I believe, 21 years, what's next for them? We'll even have some guests on the show who will provide us with some insight to some of the teams that are most relevant to the Grizzlies as they going into the future. We'll also look at teams outside the Southwest Division, looking to get some really good basketball minds on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, just talking in general about their teams, the Grizzlies, and just giving us a really good perspective on how, again, what could happen outside of the Grizzlies may just have as much of an impact as what happens internally when it comes to the Grizzlies. But speaking of internal improvement and internal changes going on, there was that this season when it came to the Grizzlies' performances, when it came to their shooting. Now, as I mentioned in the first segment, the Grizzlies showed a strong preference to shooting the ball within 10 feet of the basket. They also showed a strong preference when it came to their activity in the paint. As I mentioned before, the Grizzlies' guards were significantly above the rest of the NBA when it came to their productivity in the paint. And it just makes sense. When you think about the Grizzlies' scoring strengths, you've got Brandon Clark, Ja Morant, Tyus Jones. Those players, they love to feature that floater. It's what works for them. Ja getting to the basket, Jonas around the basket, Brandon Clark within 5 to 15 feet of the basket getting a shot. That certainly works out well. The Grizzlies in transition. A lot of times when you're in transition and getting fast break scores, that leads to shots at the basket. So the Grizzlies themselves were right in playing to their strengths. They played to the strengths, the fast pace, getting in the paint, being productive there, shooting the ball at the rim to overcome their lack of overall three-point shooting on the roster. But as I mentioned also, in the grand scheme of things in the NBA, that is a hard way to consistently win. So the Grizzlies need to make some changes in terms of their scoring philosophies in time if they really want to improve their overall chances to get closer to contention in the near future. So besides knowing how well they did in terms of shooting within 10 feet of the basket, another aspect is to see, you know, just how productive they were when it comes to shooting away from the basket. And, you know, one thing that the Grizzlies certainly have more of an opportunity to improve in, an area where they really can start to improve, is when it comes to catch and shoot situations. Now, a reason why, obviously, as I've discussed before, it basically is the catch and shoot situations opening up as a byproduct of the Grizzlies playing to their strengths. Obviously, we were one of the most productive teams. We were top five in the league in terms of production in the paint this season. We also were top five in the league when it came to assists. Obviously, we've talked about Ja Morant, his historical passing ability as a rookie, Tyus Jones, his historical efficiency when it comes to passing, and other players who have contributed in their playmaking abilities. Well, the reason why those things really come into play when it comes to the Grizzlies improving internally as they go into the future when it comes to their shooting is that the Grizzlies can be productive in the paint, make the defenses collapse to try to limit their ability in the paint. That opens up the three-point line. And as we saw in the bubble, if the Grizzlies can get players such as Grayson Allen, who they can then shoot a pass out to, maybe in the corner, maybe out to, you know, above the break, wherever it may be. If the Grizzlies can continue to find multiple options like we know the Heat have and we've seen the Heat succeed with, it could really make a difference. That's why Grayson Allen was able to keep the Grizzlies' bench advantageous as he emerged in the bubble, despite the loss of Tyus Jones, was because of his tremendous success in catch-and-shoot opportunities. Well, in those situations this season, the Grizzlies actually were again, you know, towards the middle of the league when it came to their production on catch and shoot situations. Overall, the Grizzlies were right in the middle of the pack when it came to their catch and shoot opportunities. They produced 28.1 points per game when it came to their production on catch and shoot situations. They also, while getting 28.1 points per game, they also shot 37.6% from the field. When it came to catch and shoot situations, they averaged nearly 10 shots per game on catch and shoot situations and on nearly 26 attempts from the field. But in terms of their three-point production, when it came to them shooting the three, the Grizzlies were still kind of about league average. They were right in the middle of the league when it came to their three-point shooting, but they averaged 8.5 threes on 23.3 attempts. And when it came to their shooting percentage from three, the Grizzlies were 36.6%. Again, while they were average in terms of their overall catch and shoot ability when it came to them, you know, those opportunities during the game, they still were a little bit lower. They were in the bottom third of the league at 36.6% from three. So again, on catch and shoot situations, it again shows the Grizzlies' trend. They were kind of middle of the pack when it came to their ability to convert those situations, and the farther they got from the basket, the worse they got, just simply because of their lack of overall natural shooting talent. But the reason why catch and shoot opportunities are so important is because the Grizzlies themselves don't have a lot of natural pull-up shooting ability. I mean, when you really think about the Grizzlies roster, the players that can really create their shot. Okay, you first think about Dylan Brooks, and as we all know, Dylan Brooks is just as much likely to be detrimental if he's creating his own shot than he is to be a positive aspect. Now, if he's hitting his shots, the Grizzlies can play basically, you know, with anybody, really. But if he's not, that really puts him behind the eight ball. They're winding up, you know, basically, again, as I've stated before, he basically is adding 5 to 8 turnovers a game if he's off on his shot, even though he's creating it. Ja Morant can create his own shot as well, but you really want Ja Morant being able to playmake. You want him to be able, yeah, it's great for him to, you know, set up a shot if that's what the defense has given him, and hopefully in time he'll develop that. But Ja Morant also has other ways in which he can contribute, so you don't want him to become a volume shooter in and of itself. Others such as Jaren Jackson Jr., perhaps Justice Winslow, Grayson Allen, and Tyus Jones in time, they can find their own shots every now and then. None of them really are that reliable when it comes to it, but at the very least they may be able to every now and then, but they're not consistent with it. And plus, several of those options are also much more productive when it comes to catch and shoot opportunities, and you want to play to your strengths. So you don't want a lot of possessions to end in isolation with these shooters who are still developing their spot-up game. You would rather for them work together and let the strengths of being in the paint and passing set up catch and shoot opportunities. But when it comes to the Grizzlies' ability to pull up, basically for them to create their own shots, the numbers do show that the Grizzlies struggle more on pull-ups than they do in catch-and-shoot situations, as most teams do. The Grizzlies this season, in terms of their pull-up situations, the Grizzlies were actually 23rd in the league. 23.6% of the time, they pulled up for a shot. They created their own shot. 23rd in the league, that indicates that this roster is one of, you know, still one of the worst in the league when it comes to creating their own shots. When it comes to the field goal percentage on those pull-up shots overall, the Grizzlies were, again, they actually were middle of the pack in terms of their ability to shoot on pull-up shots. Again, nothing negative towards the Grizzlies in their choice to make those shots, but just in general, Memphis was pretty successful on pull-up opportunities, but a lot of those shots were more in the lane. For instance, shooting a floater in the lane, while productive, is not the same a lot of times as being able to pull up from three. A Tyus Jones floater in the lane is great because it's what works for him. It's his best way to score, but a lot of times it doesn't add as much value as the ability of Dame, for instance, to pull up from anywhere that he wants and still be a threat to be able to make a shot even from beyond 3 to 35 feet from, you know, the rim. So the Grizzlies did have decent success when it came to pull-up opportunities. But when you expand it out and you really look at what they did as far as, you know, their success from three, the Grizzlies were actually, again, they were 23rd in the league when it came to the percentage of their shots that were pull-up three-pointers. They also, in terms of their ability to make those three-pointers, they were last in the NBA. The Grizzlies were last in the NBA this season when it came to creating their own shot beyond the three-point arc. Now, a lot of that has to do with their performance in the bubble. As we know, the Grizzlies struggled mightily, especially in those first five or six games against teams that they faced in the bubble. They just faced more talented teams who forced them to beat them through the three-point shot, and they couldn't. But still, over the entire season this year, the Grizzlies were last in the league when it came to creating their own shots from distance. So obviously, that is the biggest need that this team has. While it's great that the Grizzlies can play off their strengths of producing in the paint and passing to produce and catch and shoot opportunities from three, for them to really take that next step forward, they're going to have to find talents that can start to be reliable on pulling up. Now, Ja Morant hopefully can develop that part of his game. If that's the one area that I've asked people before, and I feel myself, if Ja Morant could really develop that part of his game where he could become reliable and pull up shooting opportunities, that is the one trait that will allow for him to significantly go above what many people feel he could be right now. That could make him become a potential MVP candidate, a potential All-NBA selection, and things such as that. Whether or not that happens, we'll see in time. But overall, the Grizzlies do have traits. Their strengths are things they can build off of to internally make them better at shooting the three, especially in catch-and-shoot opportunities. But for the Grizzlies really to take that next step, as we see on their lack of production from behind the arc when it comes to creating their own shot, the next step for the Grizzlies is to identify multiple talents that can find their own shots from three and knock them down at a frequency that defenses have to respect. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've talked about concept-wise for the team, how they can get it done. We've talked about a few players that really could, that, you know, we talked about a few players in their development who could develop that pull-up opportunity. But in terms of the roster themselves, what individuals really could make a difference in spot-up opportunities and a few individuals who may be available this summer that could help up when it comes to pull-up success. We'll be right back with you. If you ask anyone what is something that they would like to do more during the day to benefit themselves, that likely is adding one or two healthy practices that could really improve their health and make them feel better. Well, it's hard to do that nowadays, especially, you know, in a world where many of us are in a world that is unprecedented, you know, in terms of our past. Well, I could tell you this. While I may not have a solution that could sit there and instantly make you healthy, I do have an idea that you can easily implement into your day and could provide you healthy benefits, and that's Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. A lot of times with protein bars, you have to sacrifice taste to get the true health. Well, with Built Bar, that's not the case. It tastes great and benefits your health. It's also versatile. You could have it in the morning, maybe in the afternoon, before or after a workout, while you're listening to your favorite Locked On show. Whenever you choose to enjoy it, it's going to make your day better. And we have a way to make your way to get Built Bar even better. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, not only will you have a wide assortment of opportunities to choose from, and taste to choose from, you'll also be able to get $10 off your next order by putting in the code Locked On. That's if you go to BuiltBar.com, you put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 your next order of Built Bar. I can tell you this with confidence, though, it likely won't be your last. That's how good this product is. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On, and get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. So when you look at the Grizzlies roster, obviously one of the most exciting things about it is the simple fact that the biggest parts, the most critical pieces of the Grizzlies' current roster that has exceeded expectations this year going forward, a lot of them are under contract for multiple years. Really, when you think about it, it's amazing. Jonas Valanciunas, 2 years. Jaren Jackson Jr., 2 years. But obviously, you've got the, you know, extensions that certainly work in the Grizzlies' favor as far as he goes. Justice Winslow, 2 years, theoretically. Dylan Brooks, 2 years. Ja Morant, 3 years. Tyus Jones, 2 years. Kyle Anderson, 2 years. Grayson Allen, 2 years. That's a great thing about it. And then, of course, D'Anthony Melton, you know, if he decides to stay. But you, right there, you have eight to nine players, a rotation of 8 to 9 players that are already in place for the Grizzlies going forward. And that's a great thing. They'll continue to develop, continue to play well with each other. They will find ways to get better, obviously. But the other thing about it is that with that core in place, unless trades occur, you also have their skill sets to work with as well. And at this point in time, there's no true talent on that. There's not really a lot of clear elite shooting potential that's on that list of rosters. Now, there could be. And like we talked, you know, in last segment, you know, there are ways to where you can make, you know, not necessarily that great of shooters reliable in terms of the situations that they're in. But when you really look at the Grizzlies roster in terms of what is locked in place for the next few years, there's not a lot of individual shooting talent that's out there. Now, in my opinion, where the shooting really begins is it begins with Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, I don't have to throw stats out with him to really show that for his size and his age, he truly is one of the most unique shooting talents for his size and age in NBA history. The thing about it with Jaren is that catch and shoot wise, he certainly could, or he certainly can be looked upon as being a player who could shoot 40% from the field. And he averaged nearly 6.5 threes per game. So that is clearly a preference of his game. Jaren Jackson Jr. has a preference, and Taylor Jenkins embraces it, of him shooting from the outside. If he can become a source that makes you three or more threes a game, that is a huge boost for the Grizzlies. Catch and shoot is the main way he's doing it right now, but as we've seen before, if he can continue to get more versatile, I know that he's very much left-handed dominant with his approach off the dribble right now, but if Jaren Jackson Jr. can improve his ball handling in time, which of course we know that he's working on, especially after he gets over his meniscus injury, if he can improve his ability to create his own shot, that, just like Ja Morant, that is what will allow Jaren to really take the next step and become, in my opinion, on the level of an all-star player. But beyond that, we talked about Dylan Brooks. Now, Dylan Brooks is more of a mid-range type shooter, type volume shooter. He can have some decent success, but there's not a lot to trust as far as his three-point game. He typically was more in the middle 30% range in catch-and-shoot opportunities and around 30% on pull-up opportunities, though he did it more than anyone else, and you have to have that aspect to be for an offense, you know, in the NBA nowadays. You also hope that the Grizzlies will eventually find someone either through Brooks improving or someone else who can become more reliable. But in terms of other names on the roster individually that really could make a difference for the Grizzlies, it's through catch and shoot opportunities. And the Grizzlies do have some depth in that situation. When you look at Ja Morant and Tyus Jones' ability to get in the lane, shoot their floaters, produce in the paint, whatever it may be, and then pass outside, you've got names like Grayson Allen. You've got names like Tyus Jones. You've got names like Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr. All four of those players could potentially shoot 40% or better. Jonas Valanciunas himself, he only made 33s this year. I believe, yeah, 33s this year, maybe 30 to 35. Whatever the total was, he made 35 in mostly catch-and-shoot opportunities. So you have several options that could become at least decent to reliable from catch-and-shoot opportunities. Justice Winslow in the starting lineup, he showed a pace where he potentially could give you 3 to 5 catch-and-shoot opportunities from 3 to game in the 2018-2019 season in 68 games. He had 221 catch-and-shoot opportunities. That was more than, that was around 3 shots per game, made 91 of them for a clip of 41%. Both Grayson Allen and Tyus Jones, they shot more than 60 catch-and-shoot threes this year. They made 40% of them. So the Grizzlies have options if they can rely on their production in the paint and their passing to be able to set these opportunities up. But the big thing about it is that also, as we discussed during the player review series, where we may see the most roster turnover is on the bench. And while the Grizzlies' bench certainly is an asset, it has been advantageous this year, the other thing about it is that it still was below average when it came to shooting threes. It was both 21st in three-point attempts per game and 21st in three-point field goal percentage. So as we talk about players that may be on the trade block, like a DeAnthony Melton in a sign-and-trade, like a Kyle Anderson, like a Gorgie Dang, those are players. Josh Jackson, obviously, is probably going elsewhere. But those four players who played integral parts on the bench this year obviously are, they're not as preferred as other talents. That's why we saw Anthony Tolliver and Grayson Allen, as I mentioned earlier, in the bubble. But if a few of those players go elsewhere, and the Grizzlies were to want to add to their team, and it's most likely that the Grizzlies will be looking on that level of additions when it comes to their teams. A lot of their financial flexibility for this offseason was taken away when they did the trade for Justice Winslow. And also with COVID, there may just not be that much room, or there may just be may not be that much urge for teams to spend wildly when it comes to free agency. But the Grizzlies may be looking to add reserves to the core of Brandon Clark, Grayson Allen, and Tyus Jones. And some names that could be out there are Langston Galloway, Bryn Forbes, Alec Burks, Myers Leonard. You would love to think about a Joe Harris or a Jordan Clarkson, but those players may be a little bit out of the Grizzlies' range. The thing, though, that I'm getting at is that the Grizzlies do have a way to be able to add shooting talent. They don't have to go out and add the elite shooter. I know everybody feels that's the thing that needs to be added, and it is. The timing's just not right. It doesn't make sense to trade for that level of player and give up all your assets when you have a front office that has shown it can continue to build through the assets that it has and perhaps identify an elite shooting talent in a future draft. But if the Grizzlies can just add one or two additions to their bench, then what you could do is you could get those talents into Taylor Jenkins' system. Maybe he can help them take the next step in their careers. And now you've got the ability to choose different lineups that, again, will really, inflate your shooting numbers. Even though the talent may not be among the best in the NBA, you can still find ways to use the strengths of your roster to make it happen. So those are just some names that may be out there in free agency. Perhaps the Grizzlies do make a move for a talented shot creator from the outside to put with John Morant in the starting lineup, and then you put Dylan Brooks on the bench. That helps your shooting out even more because he can create his own shot at different levels. So there are ways in which the Grizzlies can go both internally through their, what they've got internally. They have improved their options, and the ability for them to pass and produce in the paint really supports their ability to improve and stay consistent when it comes to three-point shooting. But when it comes to creating the own shot, as we saw, when it came to pull-up threes, the Grizzlies were last in the NBA this season. If the Grizzlies can add just one or two bench players, that can make a big difference, because if you add them to the bench unit for the Grizzlies, which already has proven to be advantageous, and the main reasons why are going to stay on the Grizzlies roster for a while, you really then start to take the next step towards really allowing for your bench to be even better, for you to have options and lineups when you really need to feature shooting, and just overall get those type of talents into Taylor Jenkins' system to where he has shown he has the ability to develop them, overall into being valuable players. So the Grizzlies, it's a work in progress. We all knew that was going to be the case. And even with them exceeding expectations, shooting is still a clear area of need for the Grizzlies. We've seen that they are likely going to identify that with what they're focusing on in the draft, at least with their number 40 pick, perhaps more. If they add more picks, they probably are going to prioritize it when it comes to their additions, if they were to trade other pieces away or, try to replace Josh Jackson and things such as that. But internally and externally, it really feels like the Grizzlies are going to truly focus on improving their shooting this offseason, and it should pay dividends. They've already got a lot to work with. Now, if they can take care of one of their biggest needs, both through their own players improving and adding new pieces that really fit in with the roster, that's how you build a sustainable winner. And I truly think the Grizzlies have got off to a great start. I think this is the next step to really achieve that, getting that label as a great culture and a sustainable winner to hopefully become a title contender. I feel that getting shooting talent added is the next step to allow for the Grizzlies to do that sooner than expected. Thanks so much for listening with us and enjoying us again next week. We're going to start our series where we look at some of the most relevant rivals of the Grizzlies, both in the Southwest Division and beyond. How can the offseason outlooks of other teams potentially impact the Grizzlies and their success in the near future? Again, follow me on Twitter @StatsSAC, the show @LockedOnGrizz. Find the podcast anywhere podcasts are available. We can't thank you so much for listening. And until next time, hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.